You're listening to the Social Media Meet Politics podcast.
Hello everyone, my name's Tristan Hotham. I'm a PhD student in social sciences, specifically in politics. I study the use of Facebook as a campaign tool. But most pertinently, I recently passed my PhD Viva, which was a pandemic Viva. And I figured it would be useful for other PhD students, especially those undertaking a Viva during this global pandemic, to outline how I prepared and give you some tips and tricks for how I survived my Viva and how you can survive yours. So the article is actually linked down in the description, but I'm going to go through the key points and talk about a few other things related to doing a Viva that I think will be of use to you. So my Viva happened a few weeks ago in December, and I passed with minor corrections, and it was overall a fantastic experience. It was a tough experience, but one that clearly has a tremendous value, and that is such a rite of passage in order to get that doctor title in front of your name. And I now have minor corrections to undertake, which I'm doing at the moment. But obviously, it was made more complicated and more difficult by the fact that we are in a global pandemic. And for example, in my case, I am up in Lancashire, and we have been tier 4 or tier 3 for many, many months. And so essentially, I've been stuck here in this office. And it certainly adds a new dynamic, I think, to preparing and undertaking a Viva, because my Viva was done exclusively through Zoom. All of my pre-chats with my supervisors were done through Zoom, and all of my preparation was done through the logic that it was going to be all through Zoom. There was no potential for it to be a traditional style Viva. And I think somewhat it does change the dynamics of what happens, as well as how you can prepare for it and some of the ideas you can do in terms of maximizing your preparation time. So the first point I would make, and to be honest, I think this is one of the most important points I'm going to make in this video, is that you shouldn't spend too long preparing. For me, I've spent basically 4 years working on the thesis, and one of the things was that you kind of get a little bit sick of your own thesis by the end. And so having to sit down and just reread the whole thing in preparation to the Viva made me feel a little bit nauseous. And so what I feel helped me prepare was that I did it in a more succinct and more effective manner by minimizing the time I was doing preparing for the Viva in terms of reading the thesis, etc., and analyzing the thesis, and interjecting it with things that I enjoyed, such as playing guitar or computer games or just reading the internet, etc. So I think the first rule is to not over prepare. One of the problems you can do is you can just sound a little bit robotic, like you've rehearsed all of the answers to all the questions, and you don't sound genuine. You have to remember that in a Viva, you are essentially a lawyer defending your thesis, and you have to sound impassioned, like you truly believe in it. And if you spent too long preparing, and you do continue to have that sort of nauseous feeling of having to, oh no, I've got to read the thesis again, it can really ebb away that passion and that ability to defend the thesis effectively. So for me, I tried to do different things to make the preparation time I was doing worthwhile. So firstly, I would interject my reading time, my preparation time, with things that I loved. And secondly, if I really felt I had to do more in that day, and I spent about a month preparing for the Viva on and off with a real intensity for the last few days, one of the things I did was I got Microsoft Edge to read out my thesis as if it's like some sort of audiobook. And the reason I recommend Microsoft Edge is that they have voicing on there that's based upon neural networking and AI, and it's incredibly lifelike. And so rather than having a very robotic sounding readout of your thesis, having Microsoft Edge use the British or American or whatever language you speak's neural network based voicing really, I think, makes you understand and appreciate how your thesis sounds and the analysis that was undertaken. So it is another way, I think, to relieve boredom from just reading the thesis again that you know already and you spent years on, but to maximize your ability to actually take information in. So the second point I would make is that when you are preparing, you should make it high quality. So again, don't over prepare, and if you are preparing, make sure it's high quality. So as I was saying, I played guitar in between. I did things so that the actual hours of work I was doing on the thesis preparing, I was fresh and interested. Now, for me, I did a sort of wide reading of the thesis, but generally I focused on the core sort of chapters as well as the methodology, and I basically created bullet points on the strengths and weaknesses of the different chapters, summarizing the chapters, summarizing the different elements of the thesis, and looking for strengths and weaknesses that I could both defend and project as successes. So this use of the preparation time as part of blocks where I would do other things helped me to keep it high quality, and I think helped me to make a success of my thesis because, you know, more or less everyone gets minor corrections, so it's really your goal to get that. And you can really achieve that by defending the good points of your thesis, accepting the very worst, and defending the decisions you've made. And so always think through when going through the thesis about the decisions you've made and justify them to yourself as if you're going to justify them in the viva. Now, as two other points I would say related to this is that firstly, I think it's important to have a very nice setup for your viva. So I did it here in this office, and I have a proper microphone that I purchased and a proper webcam, and I'm using my desktop computer on a comfortable chair, and I have some lights to make me look a bit more natural and well lit and healthy. And it's important, I think, to have all of this technology working and checking that it all sounds and looks good, and you can do that yourself. But most importantly, I would definitely get a microphone because, for example, laptop microphones are sometimes not very clear. I also wore headphones in order to make the examiners sound very clear. You've got to make sure that you can hear them and see them nicely because you can pick up small cues from their facial reactions, for example. You know, one of the challenges of having a pandemic viva is we're not there in person. You can't detect these social cues because you're not in the same room as these people, but you can still get ideas from the way people talk, and this is why headphones are so important, as well as, you know, bigger sort of sensory ideas from how they're interacting with you through the webcam, for example. So definitely get some good technology and make sure you're in a comfortable room with a comfortable chair and make sure all of this technology works. The other thing I would say is once you have all of this good technology, start to record yourself and start to listen to how you sound and start to recite answers to prepared questions that you've done and start to just talk through your thesis. So I recorded myself quite a few times, and the reason for this is that it got me used to basically having to present in front of a webcam. Now, some of you may be teaching online extensively or doing other work that means you are on Zoom 24/7 during the week. For me, I was not, and so it was very valuable in order to acclimatize myself to Zoom in a work environment, in a presentation environment, rather than just talking to my friends and family. Now, point three, and I think this is an important point, is that I don't believe you need to have a proper mock viva where you recreate your sort of Zoom viva again with your supervisors. Now, instead, I did have an informal discussion with my supervisors where they fielded me questions that they thought would come up. But the reason I wouldn't necessarily recommend a full mock viva is firstly, you don't know what questions are going to come up. Your supervisors know the thesis, but the examiners have a different interpretation of the thesis than your supervisors innately. And sitting through an entire fake viva, I feel, would take away some of the elements that make potentially your performance more natural, as well as the enthusiasm you could have behind your thesis. You can sound over-prepared. And one of the things I think you've got to remember is, as this lawyer for your thesis, you've got to really put the passion in to the elements you should be defending, and where weak you want to retreat from that weak ground and try and return back to a position of strength. And so if you do a mock viva and over prepare in some aspects, I feel like you can sound a bit like a robot. And in a way, that's not really what the viva is supposed to be about. It's meant to be a natural conversation between you and your examiners about your work, not a they are asking this, I'm responding with this pre-prepared answer. Now, one of the interesting things is given that it's a Zoom-based online viva, you can have a lot more notes, for example. So I did have a few notes down. Don't go too mad. I kept a few bullet points for certain things that I thought would come up, but you could, make sure you don't end up with huge arrays of paper making you confused during the viva. Keep it simple. I didn't actually use them. It's just that I was in the preparation of going through the thesis and I was creating bullet points and I managed to distill the strength and weaknesses down to a few bullet points. So why not have them there? Off camera, they can't see. You could even put something up behind the camera so it doesn't look like you're looking away. If it works for you, then do it. But remember, don't go too far. And also, at the end of the day, you've got to sound natural. You can't sound like you're reading off a piece of paper. And anyway, if there's one person who knows the work that you've spent years upon, it's you. Now, related to this question of the use of technology, given it's a pandemic viva and it's going to be online via Zoom, make sure the technology works, not only your technology, but also that of the supervisors who may want to sit in silently on your viva, but also the examiners. So we did a pre-check on Zoom to check that it was all working, and luckily we did that because we had issues with getting the one person into the Zoom call. We then had issues with the microphone and camera of another person, and so we managed to sort those out, but even on the day, we still had a few issues. So it's extremely important that you iron out potential hiccups and essentially prepare as much as possible for the technological elements of the viva. You don't want to get out there on the day, have a load of issues that unsettle you and make you uncomfortable and stop you from really thinking in your mind about how you're going to prepare and present your thesis defense. Now, there's several websites you can find a bunch of different questions to expect during your viva. Now, I prepared some of them, but only really the core ones. And actually, most of the questions that are in these lists didn't come up in any way, shape, or form in a similar manner. The core ones did. And so I feel like there is value in preparing your core answer to some of the questions, but equally, your thesis is a unique body of work. There will be questions that only your thesis alludes to. And so it's more important to know about your own thesis and your own strengths and weaknesses rather than these general questions. So the questions I got during the viva were a mixed bag. Generally, they focus a lot on methodology, for example, which was one of the weaker areas of my thesis. And instead, the questions, for example, on the empirics was more reduced. So think about your thesis in your preparation. What are the strengths and weaknesses? What in the broadest sense? And then start to think about some of those questions in response to those elements. So, the questions that I did actually prepare are the key questions, which the first one being, what are the contributions to knowledge of your thesis? And this covers theoretical, methodological, and empirical contributions. So, just one example of each for my thesis. So, theoretically, I come up with this idea of Janus-faced campaigning, which is to say that parties are using Facebook, using different pages on Facebook to speak to different audiences in different ways, essentially using a nuanced approach to Facebook to maximize their impact. Methodologically, I created a coding scheme to examine Facebook content that went into hugely great detail, over 900 variables, and of a scale that is in not really paralleled in any other research. And then empirically, I outline and show how the political parties in the UK are using Facebook to campaign across content, for example, in how they use leaders, how much engagement they get, how they use the general public or party members, etc. So think about the key contributions to knowledge of your thesis, because this is going to be a key question that's going to come up, especially quite early on. So The second question I prepared was, can you start by summarizing your thesis? And I prepared a 5-minute and a 2-minute version. Going back to saying you should record yourself, this is one of those things that I recorded. I recorded my responses to both that first contributions to knowledge question, as well as the summarization of the thesis question. One thing I should have thought about, though, is that actually the question asked in the Viva could be a merging of those two elements, and that's actually what I got. So I got, how would you describe what you did in your thesis and why it matters at a conference? And so actually, you have to not only summarize your thesis, but also outline the contributions to knowledge. So think about it as well, that they could be a merged question. So prepare all three types. Now, the other question that I prepared for was what motivated and inspired me to carry out this research. And I did get asked this, and it's an important question that I think you should think about and potentially record yourself responding to, but also in a way it's got to sound natural because it's about your motivation and inspiration. It's not a sort of yes, no, correct, incorrect answer. The other question that I think is definitely worth preparing is, what are the strongest and weakest parts of your work? And again, these can cover theoretical, methodological, and empirical areas. I spent a lot of time doing this, and it's really, really important because your Viva is going to be a battle between you and the supervisors over territory. There's territory in which your thesis is weaker, and then there's territory in which your thesis is stronger. You've got to try and maintain yourself on that strength, on that strong territory. And if you're going off into weaker territory, so for example, in my thesis, we spent a lot of time talking about methodology and some of the weaker aspects of my thesis. And so the key is to accept or defend those weaknesses, but then try and bring in the strengths that you know about to highlight the logic of why you undertook what you did in your thesis. And so there's somewhat of an importance to knowing both the strengths and the weaknesses of your thesis. I really, really would make sure you think through the strengths and weaknesses of the overall project, as well as for each chapter, and in terms of the general sort of findings of the work and the conclusion and the overall process of how you went about everything. So it's extremely important. So in terms of some other questions, a few that I didn't necessarily get actually asked very many of these specific questions. Instead, you're going to get very unique questions because your work is unique and the supervisors probably don't read various lists on the internet of what Viva questions you're asked. They often are more original. But it's possible you could get asked some of these, and so it's worth spending a small amount of time, I think, going through them, but not getting as going in as deeply as with those core main questions. So, for example, you can get asked about important literature within the field or even recent literature that relates to your work. You could be asked about what you've learned from the process of doing your PhD. You can be asked about the relevance of your work to the wider landscape, as well as to other researchers. And this is another important point, is make sure you understand the big picture of where your thesis fits in. When you're preparing, it's not all about the minutiae. Some of it is the minutiae, but mainly you've got to think about the bigger strengths and the bigger weaknesses of your thesis, as well as where it fits and why it matters. Think of the question in your head, so what? So what? You've done this work, so what? You've got this result, so what? Make sure you have that so what in your head, because then you can bring that out. If you're in an area of weakness, you're defending yourself, you've got your shield up and you feel like you're stumbling backwards, you can bring up that, but it matters because of this. And this is a really great defense technique for your thesis, and to really highlight, I think, not only how you rationalized the work that you've done, but also why it matters. Now, you can see this list if you go obviously to this article of questions, and I would recommend having a look through. But the final tip is the most important, and it's to relax and to give yourself a break. Doing a Viva during a pandemic when you spend so much time alone at home, my partner, for example, she goes out and works, so I'm here and I had to finish my Viva and prepare for it essentially just on my own. You know, you've got to give yourself a relaxing time and you've got to give yourself a break. You're never going to be able to prepare 100%. Equally, Make sure you bring in others. Talk to your friends and family. Maybe ask them to ask you questions. I talked to my father and he gave me questions to answer related to the thesis. He knows all about the thesis because I got him to read some of it. So it can be extremely useful to bring in others. And also that can make it sense, feel like you're not on your own. When you're here on your own in a tier four zone and you've got your Viva and there's no one to talk to and your supervisors are busy lecturing, who do you have to support you? So you need to rely on your friends and family in order to help you prepare for your Viva, especially as it stands now. On the one hand, there are positives. You don't have to take an extensive journey to sit in a room where you may be uncomfortable with two people you may never have met before who are examining your content, your thesis. But on the other side, there is this issue of we're all essentially just locked away on our own and have had very little social interaction, which the Viva makes, it has its heart. It's essentially a social interaction, a conversation between three or more people. And so it's really vital that you get that right and you feel comfortable in that. And so you need to make sure that you not only are relaxed, but also you've spoken about it to people. You've talked to your family, your friends about your thesis. You're comfortable with talking about it. So make sure you think about that. And do what you love. Do what you love while you're preparing for the Viva, because the only way we are all keeping going through this pandemic is by doing what we love. And I know for personal circumstances that it's been a very tough time, mentally and physically. And so to be able to just do what you love at your house, especially exercise, but also playing guitar, computer games, art, puzzles, whatever floats your boat, make sure you do it and make sure you give yourself time to do that because it's more important than reading another little bit of another three paragraphs of your thesis. Having that time to give yourself a break will mean that you perform better in your Viva. Anyway, I hope this has been helpful for many of you, and best of luck if you are on a PhD Viva journey, and best of luck especially if you're having to do so during a pandemic. Obviously, this video may well be useful for those just having a Viva generally in future. I hope we don't have a more pandemics, and this will unfortunately become even more useful as a video. I hope that the usefulness of this video ends at some point soon. But until then, I hope it's been helpful to you. And overall, best of luck on your own academic journey if you've been watching this. Thank you.